Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A child was found dead in a Fairbanks residence that burned Monday. Alaska State Troopers report that the two-year-old girl was in a bedroom of a mobile home in Gold Rush Estates that burned in the early morning hours of January 7th. Troopers say a man and a woman were able to escape the fire without injury. The child's body was sent to the state medical examiner for autopsy. The cause of the fire is under investigation. A Fairbanks man wanted in connection with assault, kidnapping, and other crimes in North Pole Tuesday is in custody. Alaska State Troopers report that 35-year-old Daniel McKinney was arrested at a gas station on Cushman Street in Fairbanks yesterday afternoon without incident. McKinney reportedly forced his way into a Badger Road area residence Tuesday night, where he did about $2,000 in damage, assaulted a man inside with a gun, made threats, and forced a woman at the home into a vehicle and drove away. The woman later escaped without injury. A wood stove emission control device known as an electrostatic precipitator was tested at a conference in Washington, D.C. last month, and the results are promising.
About 90% effective in removing the particulates.
Gene Olson with the local group Citizens for Clean Air attended the Alliance for Green Heat conference and says the results track with those from testing of the chimney-mounted device on a wood stove at her vet clinic in North Pole. Fairbanks North Star Borough Air Quality Program Manager Nick Czarnecki also attended the conference in D.C. He cites a little less impressive results from one of the tests, which put ESP performance closer to between 50 and 55% particulate reduction, but Czarnecki is also optimistic about the technology.
Anything that will provide emission reductions is encouraging.
Czarnecki is overseeing an over $450,000 borough-funded effort to thoroughly test electrostatic precipitators and other emission-reducing devices on the market. He says the borough is preparing to issue a request to manufacturers to submit their products for laboratory testing.
Pellet devices and a retrofit control device, which is the least expensive of the options. It's a little bit easier to test. And then after a review of those test results, we will make a decision on whether to move forward with the rest of the testing so that we can make the best use of taxpayer money.
Czarnecki says both performance and durability of the devices need to be determined. The Swiss-made electrostatic precipitator, or ESP, is successfully used in Europe, and Olson is frustrated with the borough's slow approach to a solution that could reduce local fine particulate pollution immediately.
We're ready to ship 50 of them at a time in a case from Switzerland, but the problem has just still been buy-in from people that are regulating, and unless they say, yes, we'll put this in the SIP, I don't see any motivation for the community to really get behind it.
The SIP is the State Implementation Plan, which lays out measures to bring areas of Fairbanks and North Pole into compliance with federal air quality standards. It's in the process of being updated as portions of Fairbanks and North Pole are being redesignated as a serious non-attainment area. The borough's Czarnecki says the SIP is a living document, and if ESPs and or other similar devices prove out in more rigorous testing, they can be added to the air quality plan at any time. He anticipates the first course of testing to take 4 to 6 months. North Pole City officials are taking another look at plans for expanding the city's municipal water system to nearby Moose Creek. Mayor Mike Welch says the city council members decided Monday to delay action on an ordinance to extend service to the community east of North Pole. Moose Creek residents are unable to use their wells for drinking water because the groundwater is contaminated with perfluorinated compounds known as PFAS that came from firefighting foams used at nearby Eielson Air Force Base. Mayor Welch says he and the council want to review the plan for the $26 million water system expansion. The ordinance authorizes the city to use $275,000 in Air Force funds to begin engineering for the project, work the city has contracted with Fairbanks PDC engineers to conduct. A fiscal note attached to the ordinance says the Air Force funding should enable what it describes as critical initial engineering work to begin next week. The note says that would expedite the project so that the city could begin soliciting bids for construction in November. Infrastructure maintenance continues to be a top issue for the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. With no money to fix facilities like the Mary Saya Recreation Center, Assembly members Angela Major and Aaron Lejeski are proposing an ordinance that would build maintenance money into the annual budget. As KUAC's Robin reports, the measure is up for public hearing at an Assembly meeting tonight.
It's guessed that between $200 and $300 million worth of repairs are waiting in borough and school buildings. For decades, assemblies have tried to keep their budgets as low as possible, spending only the minimum to operate. That's left a maintenance backlog. At last week's Finance Committee meeting, Aaron Lajewski explained the borough buildings have a replacement value of about $800 million. He's proposing budgeting up to 2% per year toward the borough's fix-it fund, known as the Facilities Maintenance Reserve.
So the idea behind this is saying, hey, we don't know that we can make 2% next year, but we think we could do 1% and glide up to 2% over 10 years.
He says industry experts have recommended even 4% of a building's value be put aside for maintenance. In the proposed ordinance, Lajewski and Assemblymember Angela Major note that is an uncomfortably large chunk. If the Assembly put even 2% toward maintenance this year, it would be about $16 million. Mayor Bryce Ward said the Facilities Maintenance Reserve, the FMR, needs bolstering, but told the Finance Committee to do some homework before tonight's Assembly meeting.
Funding source for the FMR is a good idea. I would love to see a little bit more conversation on the percentages and the escalation, understanding that that will have certain implications on budgets that are presented to the Assembly.
More discussion and a public hearing are scheduled for tonight's Assembly meeting. Citizens' comments begins at 6 p.m., and consideration of this ordinance and four others begins after the meeting resumes at 7 p.m. KUAC-FM will carry that portion of the meeting live tonight. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Fairbanks has been experiencing some cold temperatures, but a few days of minus 30-degree lows don't compare to legendary cold snaps of past decades. As Ravenna Koenig from Alaska's Energy Desk reports, climate change and some other factors are making extreme cold events less frequent and less severe.
Mary and Dick Bishop arrived in Fairbanks in the fall of 1961. That December, Fairbanks experienced its most intense cold snap on record, averaging about 54 below for the last week of the month.
Nothing's bad after that. We got quite an initiation.
Over the past 50-plus years living in the interior, most of it in Fairbanks, Mary and Dick have seen plenty of intense cold spells, where it's 40 below or colder for more than a week.
Your tires are flat on one side, and a lot of cars just didn't start.
We had minimal insulation in this house, and our young boys just lived in snowsuits.
But the Bishops say those bottom-scraping temperature periods don't happen nearly as often these days. And they're right, according to Rick Toman, a climatologist at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He's mapped out all the times in the Fairbanks weather record that the temperature has averaged 40 below or colder for an entire week.
Over the last 80 years, the frequency and the intensity of these cold snaps, they've become not as cold. They're occurring less frequently than they used to.
Toman says a significant driver of that is climate change. But he says there are other factors, too. One is related to urban growth, and especially the increased number of cars on the road.
Cars put out a lot of water just from burning gasoline, and that helps thicken up ice fog. And ice fog, believe it or not, is actually a pretty good blanket.
That's only a relatively small piece of it, according to Toman, because when he looks at the data from other places in the interior that have seen no population change, there's a similar trend. Another piece, he says, is natural variability, multi-decade cycles in the atmosphere and ocean that can be more or less conducive to creating that super cold weather. But he adds that even though those natural cycles have gone through at least one full rotation since the 1970s,
we have not seen a return to the temperatures or the frequency of the cold snaps that we saw before that.
The current forecast for the end of this week shows lows in the 30 to 50 below range in the Fairbanks area. But will it add up to a week cold enough to make it on Toman's graph of big cold snaps? He says not this time. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
And I'm Dan Bross.